Well, good morning, everybody. We have 15 minutes or so together. Yes, he's calling. And we're going to just share a little bit about personal testimony, about gospel-shaped joy. And then we're going to have a time of prayer together as a church. Don't be too worried about that. We'll lead you through that together. That being said, if you open your Bibles, if you have one, to Hebrews chapter 12. If you don't have a Bible, there should be a red one near to you. It's on page 1220 of the Red Bible. Hebrews chapter 12. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. And let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now he is seated in the place of honour beside God's throne. Think of all the hostility he endured from sinful people. Then you won't become weary and give up. After all, you have not yet given your lives in your struggle against sin. Intriguingly, the joy mentioned here is related to suffering. It's linked to suffering. Joy linked to suffering. Jesus had to endure the cross. Pain, embarrassment, shame for joy. And we find that the joy is that he is now seated at the right hand of God in heaven. Now, I am not in heaven, and I don't know what it's like to be seated at the right hand of God. And so, asking myself this question, what is this joy in my life here on earth in 2018? What exactly does gospel-shaped joy look like? And in one sense, for me, it's indescribable. I couldn't quite put my finger on words to say, this is what joy is, this is what it looks like, because it's an emotion and it's a feeling. But the best example I could give is when, and it's from marriage, so if you're married, you might well be able to identify this. When my heart is in the right place before God, when I'm courageous enough to open up my heart and say, Lord, deal with the things that need to be dealt with, then what I discover is that in the relationships around me, particularly with my wife Debbie, who I am closest to, there's a physical, an emotional, and a spiritual intimacy that come together. And when that happens, there's a deep sense of joy. A deep sense of joy. And interestingly, yesterday afternoon, I said to Debbie, there's been times in our marriage where we have, and I have experienced this deep sense of joy, and now is one of them. And late last night, Colin asked us to share on gospel-shaped joy. Now, the tricky thing with joy, because it's emotion, I can't control it. It comes and it goes. I can't just snap my fingers and be joyful. I can't wake up on a Sunday and think, whoa, it's church, so I'm going to worship God. I'll be joyful in church. So it's very likely that although we all look great this morning, we've all got our Sunday clothes on and our faces are Sunday faces, it's very likely that gospel-shaped joy, that good, good feeling, is a trillion miles away. A trillion miles away. And if you were here last week and we heard Stephen McCroy preaching on Psalm 51, David lost his joy. David cried out, "Restore to me the joy of my salvation." It had gone. Joy comes, joy goes. Now, this being linked to pain, I've experienced pain. In the 26 years of doing the job I do, I've been punched, I've been kicked, I've been spat on. I do a lot of cycling, I've fallen off my bike at speed, and I've experienced pain, real pain. But the interesting thing about that pain is that it doesn't affect anybody else, it only affects me. It's sore, but eventually the body heals and the pain goes. But there's another experience of pain that I've had that is the deep pain of the soul. And that has happened in my life when my behaviors, my attitudes, my words have been exposed. That is deep, deep pain. And like David, who lost the joy of his salvation because of his behaviors, he required to be broken. And that deep pain leads and has led me to God, where I ask for his forgiveness, I confess, and I repent. But there's something even harder than going to God, and which in one sense is not too difficult. It's when you have to go to the person that because of my behaviors, my ungodly beliefs, my ungodly expectations, my ungodly experiences have hurt other people. And the pain of having to go to someone and confess and repent and ask for forgiveness. I've had to do that to Debbie. I've had to do that to my children. I've had to do that to my pastor, Colin. I've had to do that to close brothers who have walked and journeyed with me. And when you're willing to go through that pain, then you discover the good news of gospel-shaped joy. It's a good, good feeling. I'm going to hand over to Debbie, who is going to look at something else in relation to gospel-shaped joy.
Thank you. So following on from Will's, laying aside every weight and sin to run with endurance looking to Jesus. My work is a counsellor and psychotherapist. And so I meet very regularly, almost on a daily basis. I meet with people who come really, really weighted and entangled with sin. They may not know it. Some are Christians and some aren't Christians. They come from all different walks of life. Some are searching for Jesus. Some have found Jesus, but they've lost sight of him. And some, and well, most of them walk in and they have lost their joy. And recently, so I can journey for months and sometimes years with people, helping them to be able to detangle and recognize weights and sins so that they can run with endurance. And recently, I began to experience quite a few of those I've journeyed with becoming incredibly light, that a lot of weight and sin was breaking free from their lives, and not one, but two, but three, but four. And I have to say, I was sitting in my seat kind of almost speechless, going, right, okay, God, what's next? But what happened was, as many of them became lighter, I became aware of some of my weights and some of my sin that was stopping me from being able to run. And one was physical, so I had some health issues that I had kept maybe ignoring, or I'll deal with that later. And so for me, that was one thing to deal with, caring for myself, not just for others. But there was also emotional and spiritual health issues that I had to face. And so I decided, a conference is the answer for me. I'm just tired and I'm just weary. So myself and my pal Google got together to see what conferences were out there. But nothing really I was drawn to. And I guess I realized this is not the answer for me. And so looking to Jesus was definitely the answer. And a verse that the Lord really impressed on my heart was from Psalm 133. How good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity. It is like precious oil running down the beard of Aaron, his collar and his robes. And that is where God commands his blessing, and you receive life forevermore. And I've read that psalm. I've known it as a child. I grew up in a home where we were taught scripture and psalms very, very regularly. So it was a really familiar psalm. But that day, it felt incredibly weighted in my heart. And I had that week previously been on the receiving end of some close family members who had come to me repentant of some behaviors that had hurt me. And it was an incredibly humbling experience receiving that from them. And it restored joy in our relationships. And I know that the Lord says, well, freely you have received, then freely give. And so as I pondered over the psalm and did a bit of research and going into it in a bit more depth, the Lord laid on my heart relationships that maybe there was measures of reconciliation, but not the full measure that God required of me. And so he laid in particular a person on my heart, and I thought, well, I'll send a card. It's probably quite easy, and write a note and maybe send a gift. And the Lord, when that's not enough, I want you to come face to face and to speak and to say what is on your heart. And for a while, the flesh and the spirit wrestle with one another. But this weighed so heavy that I knew I wanted to obey God. And what I wanted was the oil. Now, I don't have a beard, I hope. But the oil might run down my collar and my robe. I desired that. And therefore, I had to do something in order to get there and receive those blessings forevermore. What then is the outcome when you step into obedience to God? Well, I saw reconciliation and abundance of blessing and joy rain down. It was incredible. God is good. And God really taught me so much through this. And I've just seen, and again since then, encounters with people I've not seen for a while. And there's just this reconciliation just in the air, in the atmosphere. It is exciting. But what I realized is we have little. But the boy that came to Jesus with a little fish and a little bit of bread, but he gave all he had. It was a little, but he gave what he had. I had a little, but I gave what I had. And when Jesus takes the little you have, it feeds the multitudes. And not only does it feed the multitudes, but actually it comes back to you 12 baskets full. So when we feel we have a little or we don't have much, just give a little kindness, a little love, a little generosity. It really does go a long way. And I was really struck. Jesus came into this world with little. But God gave all he had. He gave his son.
Thanks, Debbie. We said that we would have a time of prayer together. Don't be too worried or nervous about that. Later on, we're going to be taking communion. And Paul gives instructions in communion. And one of those instructions is, let a man examine himself. And maybe some of the things that you've heard us share today is striking something with you. And maybe there's some blockages for you receiving joy, or maybe there's some blockages for you being able to express joy. And so what I'd ask you to do is just to quieten your hearts. And probably the most common way to do that is just to bow your head and close your eyes. Begin to listen to what's going on in your mind and what you're feeling in your body. Father, what are you saying to me just now? What is stopping me from experiencing your joy? Is there any anger or bitterness? Or resentment? Any unconfessed sin. If there's something on your heart that you need to bring to God, and to ask him for forgiveness. There's nothing complex in this. You only have to say, Lord, please forgive me for. And try not to be vague, but be specific on what is on your heart, what God is showing you. And receive God's forgiveness. Receive his grace. Receive his love. And something that God gives us is assurance when we make ourselves vulnerable, when we open up our hearts to him. Let me read over these words to you as you remain as you are. Once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins, you used to live in sin, but like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, the commander of the powers in the unseen world, he is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. All of us used to live that way, following the passions, desires, and inclinations of our sinful nature. By our very nature, we were subject to God's anger, just like everyone else. But God is so rich in mercy, and he loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave to us life when he raised Christ from the dead. It is only by God's grace that you have been saved. For he raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ Jesus. So God can point to us in all future ages as examples of the incredible wealth of his grace and kindness toward us, as shown in all he has done for us who are united with Christ. God saved you by his grace when you believed, and you can't take credit for this. It's a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast, for we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. Amen.